Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tonight was the 1200th episode of SmackDown, and SmackDown was live from Montreal, Canada. Oh, Canada. It's about all I know. If I knew more, I would sing it. That's all I know. I hope that all of you UK fans, and I know some of them are sleeping right now, they'll watch this tomorrow, but I hope all the UK fans who were headed to Cardiff paid attention to that crowd on SmackDown tonight. I hope you were watching. I hope you were listening to how loud the crowd was in Montreal tonight, because you've got 2 weeks. You've got 2 weeks to get ready. You got to bring it. You got to be on your A game if you want to top this crowd that we had tonight. This show had an incredible atmosphere. They were at the Bell Center tonight. I love these Canadian crowds. They're some of the best wrestling fans anywhere in the world, which is why I've been, you know, waiting for AEW to go and make their big debut in Canada. And I think it's a real missed opportunity. They didn't save it for a big pay-per-view. They're going to be doing it on Dynamite in October. But Canada's great. Tonight was the Sami Zayn show. Tonight was really all about Sami Zayn. Let's just be honest. It was all about Sami Zayn. He was the star of the show. Everybody was in love with Sami, of course, them being up in Montreal. He finally got to meet his idol. He finally got to meet his hero, like R-Truth meeting John Cena for the first time. Sami Zayn finally got a meeting tonight with the tribal chief. He got to sit down with Roman Reigns. He failed in his bid to become number one contender for the Intercontinental title in the Fatal 5-Way match that he was part of tonight. He was going to bring the Intercontinental title to the Bloodline. He could not even get out of the number one contenders match. But he did take a bullet for Roman at the end of the show in the final show closing segment with Drew McIntyre. He ate a Claymore kick. He took one for the team. And another seed was planted. We got one on Raw Monday night with Kevin Owens. The idea that I pitched a few weeks ago, I said it's got to be KO and Sami Zayn coming back together, building to a tag team championship match with the Usos. Clash at the Castle might be a little too soon, but that is what they should be building to. We got the first seed planted on Monday, when Kevin Owens delivered a message to the Usos to take back to Roman Reigns. Tonight, Roman Reigns brought Kevin Owens up by name in his segment with Sami Zayn. What did he say? What was the context in which he was brought up? I'll talk about that. But it's coming. It's definitely on the horizon. And I am very happy about that. It was also another week where we had more emphasis. This was the theme of the shows last week. There was more emphasis on the United States Championship this week. We had Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles. We had more emphasis again on the Intercontinental title. Remember what they did last week? We had the video package. We had the build-up throughout the entire show. The main event of the show, Walter defending his title against Shinsuke Nakamura, right? They did a tremendous job last week of making the Intercontinental title great again. Tonight, it was more of the same. They had a fatal five-way match for the number one contendership for the championship. The winner would go on to challenge Walter for the title in Cardiff at Clash at the Castle. And we had Sheamus, and we had Ricochet, and we had Happy Corbin, and Madcap Moss, and Sami Zayn. And those five guys went in there, and they had a tremendous match. one of my favorite matches of the week. And Sheamus is going to Cardiff. He is going to compete for the championship that he has never held. And he has spoken before about wanting to be. He must become the Intercontinental Champion at some point before his career is over. It would mean the world to him. And this was a few years ago that he said that. Now imagine him in the ring one-on-one with Walter. Now it becomes a reality. If you look at the rest of this show tonight, largely it really wasn't any different than what it looked like a month ago before Triple H took over. The rest of the show was very much an average show. But between the energy and just the atmosphere of where they were tonight and the crowd being as up for everything as they were, that and the five-way are what make this a thumbs-up episode of SmackDown tonight. That is what made SmackDown must-see tonight. The rest of the show was basically just more of the same. It was a very average show. And I'll tell you what, you know, with rumors going around about the WWE draft coming up sometime, probably the end of next month is what it's looking like right now, it could not be coming at a better time because these rosters, and SmackDown in particular, could really use a shakeup. It is a lot of the same faces that you see every single week. Roman has, of course, run through everybody other than Drew McIntyre. But the draft coming up, I think, is coming at exactly the right time. Rampage, you know, I got to say, Rampage is the same Rampage show that it's always been. They try to fit a lot of stuff in. It's a very quick pace. They don't really give anything a chance to breathe. It's just on to the next segment. But it's also just a lot of stuff that, frankly, is not very important. And as I am watching these shows every week and I keep hearing about the Rampage ratings, sometimes they go up, but then they go down and they set new record lows. I could see why. I could see why. Because there's nothing about this show that is important. I'm about at the point where I'm not even sure it's worth it to cover it every week. I had half the people in the chat saying, hey, go live now. 20 minutes into the show, just go live after SmackDown. So I think what we'll do is we'll take a wait-and-see approach over the next, you know, few weeks and just see. I think what might be the better way to go, frankly, is to probably, you know, cover it as part of the review here when it's live. On those rare weeks where Rampage goes live, maybe cover it then. Don't worry about it so much the other weeks. I don't know. I might leave it up to you guys, but it just doesn't feel like an important show. It's not a bad show. But there's just a lot of, you know, it's just a lot of stuff that just doesn't seem important enough to really, you know, spend the extra hour to wait to talk about. And a lot of squash matches and matches you would find probably that belong on Dark and not really on television. So we'll get into Rampage a little bit later on as well. Hit that like button. The goal tonight for Be the Booker is 500 likes. We're already going up. 500 likes. If you want to do Be the Booker at the end of the stream, make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Super chats are open. We'll hang out a little bit later. I will read all of your messages. So again, the goal tonight is 500. Michael Cole introduced us at the beginning of SmackDown tonight that this was SmackDown episode number 1200. And Pat McAfee talked about being 11 years old when Michael Cole and Jim Cornette came on TV do the announcing for the pilot episode of SmackDown back in April of 1999. We got a Jim Cornette reference here on SmackDown tonight. I had forgotten that for the pilot episode they did, it was Cornette and Cole. They did a pilot in April, and then UPN picked the show up, and officially SmackDown started in August. So when you think back to the main event of the very first SmackDown, people will say, oh, it was Rock against Triple H for the WWF title. Shawn Michaels was the referee. He super kicked Rock. That was not the pilot episode in April. That was the first official episode in August. The main event of the pilot episode that they shot in April was Stone Cold and The Rock against The Undertaker and Triple H, representing the corporate ministry. Not my favorite period of The Undertaker's career, but that was the main event that night. So they loaded it up, right, for the biggest stars of the Attitude Era. Austin, Rock, Undertaker, and Triple H. That's pretty much them and Mankind, right? There you go. That's your Fabulous Five, pretty much. Unless you throw, Mr. McMahon in there. That's your Fabulous Five from the Attitude Era. So apparently that was the smart thing to do because the show got picked up. And here we are now. What has it been? 22 years, right? I think it's been 23 years, I think, of SmackDown. It's crazy. So Pat McAfee was 11 years old in 1990. Man. Okay, now I feel old. If Pat McAfee was 11 in 1999, holy shit. Wow. So as McAfee was talking, Ronda Rousey came walking right past the announce desk, marched into the ring with a microphone in her hand. She said she paid her fine last week when she showed up with all the cash. And she says she paid her fine. She would not leave the ring until she is reinstated. She demanded that Adam Pearce get out here and lift her suspension from, you know, what she did at SummerSlam. She reiterated that the show would not begin until she got what she wanted. So eventually Adam Pearce did walk out and said, look, he had security with him. He goes, I can't just reinstate you. That's above my pay grade. And he pleaded with her, please just leave peacefully. Ronda said she chose to leave peacefully last week. She asked him not to make her choose violence tonight. Security guards got into the ring and she tossed them around. She grabbed one of the security geeks and put him in an armbar. Adam Pearce motioned for the police to come down to the ring, and Ronda, when they came, she held out her hands so that she could be handcuffed. They put the cuffs on her. They took her to the back. It's like they perp walked her all the way to the locker room, loaded her into the cop car, and away she went. And just as the cop car was pulling away, this giant Yukon pulls into the parking garage, and you could hear the crowd already in the background. They're chanting for Roman Reigns. You would think Roman Reigns is the biggest babyface in the entire company, the way these people were cheering and chanting his name tonight. And the door swings open, and there it is. There's Roman Reigns. Everybody gets a huge pop as soon as people see that Roman gets out of the car. Now, they did tell us later on in the show that Adam Pearce declined to press charges and Ronda Rousey was released from jail on her own recognizance. That's how it's always been, right? How many times did Steve Austin get arrested? How many times did multiple wrestlers get arrested over the years? I was always waiting for someone to press charges. It just felt like nobody ever bothered to press charges. If Vince McMahon didn't want Steve Austin so badly on his show, he could have just pressed charges. He would have kept him behind bars. All these wrestlers, they end up being released on their own recognizance. They come back and they cause more chaos. You would think they would learn. So that was the opening segment. Again, short little bursts on the microphone from Ronda. Better than any kind of long, drawn-out promo. She should not be in the ring doing long promos. It was supposed to be Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark from NXT facing Natty and Sonya Deville in the Women's Tag Team Championship Tournament on this show. But they claimed that Zoe, and I heard this earlier today, actually before it was even announced, I heard, that Zoe was injured in her match against Mandy Rose at the Heatwave show on Tuesday. And later on, the announcement was made that Nikita Lyons was, and I quote, medically unable to appear on the show tonight. Now, PW Insider had a follow-up update on that. And according to PW Insider, they said the wording of the announcement was correct, but she is not injured. So she was medically unavailable, but she's not hurt. She's not hurt. As far as anybody knows, I don't know if she's sick. I don't think she is. But she is nonetheless unable to appear on the show tonight. Make of that what you will. They were north of the border. They were outside of the U.S., which makes me wonder if she wasn't allowed in for reasons. Be that as it may, she was unavailable, so their replacements were Gigi Dolin and JC Jane of Toxic Attraction, the former two-time NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, who frankly should have been in this tournament to begin with. If you were going to call up two women from NXT, you call up Toxic Attraction. Especially now that they've already ditched the tag team titles. They've already lost them anyway. They should have been called up. Mandy Rose was not with them, which would have been interesting to see if there would have been any interaction at any point between her and Sonya Deville. Mandy was not there. Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. They showed up in the audience. They had tickets, and they took seats in the front row, and Bayley was annoying Michael Cole the entire time. One of the few highlights of all of the pandemic shows, and I'm talking like at the beginning, when they were in the empty performance center, were Bayley coming out and just harassing Michael Cole. When Bayley and Sasha would come out, speaking of which, there's Sasha on my screen. Bayley would come out and she would harass Michael Cole every single week, and it was great. So she was doing the same here. Natty was the babyface, given that they were in Canada, right? One of the old students of the dungeon. So she was the big babyface in this match. I'll give you one guess who did the job in this match. Gigi Dolan botched the flying head scissors early, but outside of that one little hiccup, I thought, you know, they looked fine. The match itself really wasn't anything great at all, but outside of that one little hiccup, Toxic Attraction looked fine. JC attempted a sharpshooter, but Sonya broke free. She made a hot tag to Natty, who hit some suplexes. Natty went for a sharpshooter. JC escaped. Dolan landed a cheap shot, and Jane sent Deville out to the floor. They fought over by where Bayley and Io and Dakota were sitting, or standing, in the front row. Deville got taken out by a kick from JC Jane. Natty took down Gigi with a discus clothesline in the ring. Jane made a blind tag. Natty didn't see it. That's what a blind tag is. So when Natty went to go put Gigi in the sharpshooter, as she turned her over, here comes JC Jane. And she kind of gets in there and she rolls up Natty and steals the win. So Toxic Attraction pick up the win in their main roster debut. Here is what the brackets look like on your screen. This is where things stand at this moment. Next week, next Friday, it's going to be Toxic Attraction taking on Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah in the semifinals. And this Monday on Raw, it's going to be Io Sky and Dakota Kai taking on Alexa Bliss and Asuka. That's going to be the big match in this tournament. Looking at these brackets, I mean, see, this could go any number of ways, just looking at what we have here. Because you could have a... Now, I think this is less likely. If we assume Sasha and Naomi are on their way back, you could have a situation where the teams on the left eliminate each other. There's some kind of a draw, double count out, double DQ, whatever it is. And instead of just giving the other two teams, the winner of that match, a bye to the championship, you can say surprise and the ex-champions show up and they end up wrestling in the finals. That's probably less likely. If I have to pick a winner between Alexa and Asuka, Io and Dakota, man, the match I would do, I would be doing Alexa and Asuka against Toxic Attraction. I don't think that's going to happen. They've been giving Raquel the big push. I think they're going to push her all the way to the finals. I think we end up with Raquel and Aaliyah going to the finals, and we end up with Io and Dakota. So you have Raquel and Aaliyah as the babyface team, right? This great story. Aaliyah is going to go to the finals, right? God forbid she wins. Io Sky and Dakota Kai should win this tournament. And I believe they are going to be your next women's tag team champions. So that's my prediction there. Sami Zayn was shown in the back, and he approached Roman Reigns' locker room. And he was very surprised to be informed by the security guard outside the locker room that Roman wanted to see him. He was being summoned inside by Roman Reigns, and he pushes the door open, and there he is, sitting on the couch, is the champion himself. 719 days as champion. There's Roman Reigns. He finally got to meet his idol. And Roman said, here, take a seat. He wanted Sammy to take a seat on the couch right next to him. Roman asked him how things were going. Sammy pointed out he was wearing the Bloodline t-shirt, right? He was very proud of the fact that he had the Bloodline t-shirt. He was repping the Bloodline, he said. He said, you know, but Jay Uso, he's been giving me a lot of attitude. He's been giving me a lot of grief for whatever reason. He's been on my case. I even took a Claymore kick to the face last week for him, and he was ungrateful. I never even got a text message from him thanking me for what I did. And Roman was pretending to agree with him. He goes, you know what? I love him. He's my cousin. But you're right. You're right. So he's pretending to go along with what Sammy was saying. So Roman got up. He went to go across the room to go do something. I don't know. He was going to take a tribal shit, whatever it was he was going to do. And he left his cell phone behind on the couch. All of a sudden, a call is coming in. We could kind of see on the display, if you look, a picture of Jey Uso is on there. And Sammy sees, he goes, oh, it's Jay. And Roman says, well, answer the phone. So Sammy answers the phone, and he's acting like Jay was irritated by hearing his voice. He was screaming at him. We couldn't hear what Jay Uso was saying, but Sammy was selling it like, you know, Jay was just screaming in his ear, and he was telling him to calm down. And Sammy told Roman, he explained that Jay was calling to tell him that they had some trouble at the border, and they were not going to be able to make it to the show tonight. Now, I believe that if you have a DUI on your record, you are not allowed into Canada. I don't know if it's for a certain period of time, so I'm going to assume that Jimmy Uso's last DUI is the reason why the Usos were not on the show tonight. Now, both Usos have had issues with DUI and DWI in the past, so it might not just be Jimmy, but at least in the case of Jimmy, I'm going to assume they were not allowed into the country, which is why we did not see that. We didn't see Paul Heyman on the show tonight either, but he's been selling the injuries from SummerSlam with the F5, so I didn't expect him on the show. Although we did hear his disembodied voice at the beginning of the NXT Heatwave show on Tuesday night. Very appropriate, given the history of Heatwave, they would have Paul Heyman be the one to do the introduction for the show. But outside of his voice, we have not seen Heyman since SummerSlam. So Roman was flying solo tonight, which is very rare. So that's why they didn't say this, but that's why the Usos were not there. So Roman said, well, that's not good. But he asked Sammy, he goes, so what are you doing tonight? Because Roman had a face-to-face with Drew McIntyre, so he was getting nervous. He said to Sammy, what are you doing tonight? And Sammy said, well, I'm in a number one contender's five-way match for the Intercontinental title. If I win, I get a championship match. And Roman said, wow, the IC title. He goes, well, that would look good in the bloodline. And Sammy said, you're right. Yes. Roman has the world title. Roman has the universal title. The Usos have the tag team titles. Sammy could win the Intercontinental title. He could bring that championship into the group.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Roman asked Sammy if he was still tight with Kevin Owens. Now we get to the real reason why Roman wanted to invite Sami Zayn into his dressing room. He goes, you're tight with KO, right? Sami said, well, you know, he and I haven't talked in a minute, but yeah, we go way back. And Roman told Sami, I want you to deliver a message to Kevin Owens. I want you to tell him that I don't owe anybody anything, ever. That's in response to what Kevin Owens said to the Usos on Monday night when he laid out Drew McIntyre with a stunner. Usos had tried to get involved. They were outside on the floor. Owens looked over at them and said, let your buddy Roman know that he owes me one. So this was Roman's receipt. He wanted him to relay the message back to Kevin Owens that I don't owe you shit. That's the only reason why Roman even invited this man into his dressing room in the first place. And Kevin, you know, Sammy was trying to say, well, you know, we're not really that close anymore. But yeah, I can do that for you. I absolutely adored this segment. I thought the interaction between these two was gold. I thought the interaction between Sammy and Brock Lesnar was gold. They had a couple of interactions on TV. I think the moral here is that Sami Zayn is gold. Whatever you give to him, whatever you throw at him, from the Jackass stuff to all of this stuff, he knocks it out of the park every single time. Sami Zayn is fantastic. And this being the first real interaction that we've had with him and Roman Reigns, I was left just wanting more. I was left wanting more. I think there's a lot of potential here. A lot of great entertainment potential between these two. Somebody on my timeline mentioned Stone Cold and Kurt Angle. I look, this is just one segment. I wouldn't go that far, but I think the potential is there for something along those lines. I thought this was great, and hopefully this is not the only time that we get to see these two interacting. But the other thing I loved about it, of course, is that he brought up Kevin Owens. After Kevin Owens brought him up, he brought Kevin Owens up. He went to Sammy. He wanted Sammy to relay a message. The seeds are planted. This is going to happen. I don't know when. Probably not in time for Cardiff. Although, I don't know what other tag team title match they would do in Cardiff. So maybe it'll happen there. It could happen there, actually. I hope it does. We still have a few weeks. Kevin Owens has no match. Sami Zayn has no match. The Usos have no opponents. The Usos against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. A reunited Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the tag team championship. We've been wondering what team is going to take the titles from Jimmy and Jay, right? They've had those titles now for 300 some odd days. You know, they've already vanquished the Street Profits. The New Day aren't even around anymore. The Viking Raiders, they're a heel team. Alpha Academy, they're a heel team. Who's left? Who's next on the list for the Usos? Well, we have our answer now. And I'm loving the way that this thing is building up. The Sami Zayn story arc with all this bloodline stuff, it is the most unexpected treat creatively that I think we have had all year. It just kind of came out of nowhere. It started out probably as not really a big thing, but it's gone on now for so long and it's been allowed to kind of develop to the point now where Sami Zayn is on the verge of a massive babyface turn. And I think the same could be said for Kevin Owens. That just seems to be the direction they're going in here. You put those two together against the Usos, whether or not they want to be babyfaces, they will be babyfaces, whether they want to be or not. Sami Zayn has been a heel now for about 5 or 6 years. It's been about 5 years, I think, since we've seen babyface Sami Zayn. Tonight, we got a taste of it. Granted, this was one place. This was obviously they were going to go nuts for him. It's not going to be like this in every city, but we got a taste of what it would be to go back to babyface Kevin Owens and babyface Sami Zayn. And I think it's exactly the right move to make, and I can't wait to see what they do here. But this was gold. This was the best part of the show tonight. I love this. And when I say this was the best part of the show, I'm talking about pretty much everything that Sammy was involved in, because we still have to get to the five-way. We had Max and Maxine of Maximum Male Models in the ring with Massé and Mansoor. Max started talking, and he was quickly interrupted by Hit Row. Got their full entrance. They came down to the ring. Max got up in Top Dollar's face, and he told him that he was not Maximum Male Model material. And all due respect to AJ Francis, he is not Maximum Male Model material. There were no lies in what Max Dupri was saying here. Top Dollar, though, he drop-kicked Mansoor. Ashanti the Adonis tossed Massé out to the floor. And the two of them in B-Fab then proceeded to deliver an impromptu concert. They stayed in the ring and they rapped. They did a rap. I have no idea what they were saying. The fans didn't, you know, crap on it, so that's a good sign. But I didn't really necessarily think too much of this segment, but at least the fans didn't turn against them. At least when they were done singing, the people didn't boo. Wasn't like, you know, we're not talking about the Kiss Demon concert. Or the Well, it wasn't the Kiss Demon. It was the Kiss concert. The Kiss Demon made a cameo on WCW. Usually when they do concerts, it's hit or miss. But that's when they bring in actual, you know, celebrities and artists and stuff. Hit Row's going to go out there. They're going to do their rap. They're going to do their thing. And you know, it's their whole act. But this was all right. But, you know, look, it's a fine undercard feud. If they want to have Hit Row go against the Maximum Male Models crew as an undercard feud, you put the two groups together against each other. We haven't seen Mace and Mansoor together on TV as a team yet. We've seen them posing. We've seen them doing, you know, spraying themselves down in water. We haven't actually seen them in action yet together. So at least now they have a program set. They came back from break, and we had a Karrion Kross video. I was going to ask the Kiss concert what year that was. Was it 99? Was it 1999 that they had a Kiss concert on Nitro? That, I think, if I remember correctly, I think it completely shit the bed, at least ratings-wise. So they came back from break with a Karrion Kross video. Scarlett was talking about some tarot cards, being very cryptic. Kross said that on Monday he noticed how upset Drew got over him pointing out that he was the chosen one. In Kross's last promo, he referred to him as the chosen one, which is what Drew was called when he first came into the company. He got called up. Vince McMahon anointed him the chosen one. Well, Drew got very upset. When he got very passionate in that promo on Monday night, he was very upset by this, and Kross took notice of that. And he says, it begs the question, why? Why were you so upset? He goes, whether Drew wants to be or not, he is the chosen one. Just like Roman Reigns is the chosen one. He goes, it doesn't matter what you've done or what you will do. This is what you are. He says, but what really bothers Drew about that is where Drew failed. Where Drew failed, they chose someone else. Now Kross is here to build the table that Drew failed to set, to prove that what Drew truly knows in his heart is that in choosing Drew, they were wrong. And Kross then went from basically a Jake Roberts promo to a Psycho Sid promo in terms of volume. He went from 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds here. Started screaming. I thought this was good. I have no idea when they're planning on doing Kross and McIntyre. Right now, it's just promos. I have no idea exactly when they're actually going to do the match. I thought they would do it before Clash at the Castle. They could be holding off until after the pay-per-view. So we'll have to wait and see. Then we had a Fatal 5-Way to determine a number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship in Cardiff. Tonight it was Sheamus, it was Ricochet, it was Happy Corbin, it was Madcap Moss, and it was the beloved Sami Zayn. Sami entered last and was ridiculously over here in Montreal. I mean, he was ridiculously over. Michael Cole, during the match, even dropped an El Generico reference. At one point, I think Sami got knocked out, he was on the floor. And I don't remember the context, but Michael Cole mentioned El Generico, and Pat McAfee totally no-sold it and moved on. But that was interesting to hear that name mentioned. Sheamus ended up with a nasty scrape and a bruise. It ran down the entire length of his left thigh. I didn't see how it happened. It looked like his leg at first was sliced open. It kind of reminded me of Hardcore Holly for a moment there. When I saw him sitting on the outside up against the announce desk, it looked like a cut. And I remember when Holly got his back sliced open on the old ECW show. That's one of the nastiest gashes I've ever seen. I don't think this was a cut. I just think it was a really bad scrape on his... I mean, look, Sheamus, he's so fucking pale. I mean, if you just sort of breathe on the guy, he's got a bruise on his body. It doesn't take a whole lot of pressure to put a mark on this guy's body. So it looked very painful. Sheamus hit the chest clubs that he does to Madcap, and the entire crowd was chanting along to the count of 10. He did the same thing to Happy Corbin, and then he did the same thing to Ricochet. Sheamus brought Sammy back into the ring to do the same to him, and that's when the fans turned on him, right? They were chanted along with Sheamus when it was okay when he was doing it to the other guys. But when he went to go do it to Sammy, now he's gone too far. Well, Sammy was able to counter out of it anyway, and he hung him up on the top rope neck first. Sammy then dumped Corbin to the floor, and he hit a running dive out onto the both of them. That's old babyface Sami Zayn right there. Ricochet attacked Zayn. Sammy landed a Michinoku driver out of nowhere for a close near fall. He was lining up for the Huluva kick. Moss, though, stopped him. He pulled out a blue thunderbomb on Moss to a big pot, got another near fall. Sammy climbed the rope. Sheamus, though, met him up top and delivered a white noise from the, I think it was the middle rope, on the inside. And Sammy immediately rolled to the floor, and he was selling this like a legitimate injury. As soon as he landed, he had a look on his face. He rolled out of the ring, was up against the barricade. He was holding his elbow as though he injured himself. And he had to be helped to the back while the other four men continued the match. Moss and Sheamus, they fought to the top rope. Moss threw Sheamus into the ring with a fallaway slam. Corbin nailed the torture rack neckbreaker to Ricochet for a near fall. Madcap sent Corbin to the floor, and Sheamus dropped Moss with a wicked knee strike for a near fall. The fans were chanting for Sammy. They wanted to see Sami Zayn come back down to this ring. They were waiting. They were waiting for Sammy to make his return. They knew he was going to come back. Sheamus went for a brogue kick. Moss avoided it and landed a suplex. Ricochet hit the recoil on Moss and then sent him out of the ring. He landed a shooting star on Sheamus. Corbin, though, broke up the pin. Ricochet avoided an end of days. He sent Corbin to the floor. Baron Corbin fell victim to the top rope pulldown spot not once, not twice, three times in this match. They went to the same exact spot where one of the opponents, as Corbin was standing there, he's running in, pulls down the top rope, and out he goes. You would think by the third time he would know to stop short and not go sailing out over the top rope. So I thought that spot with him was overused in this match. But now here comes Sami Zayn. He comes back out to a big ovation, gets in the ring. He hits an exploder suplex to Ricochet in the corner. Now he's setting up for the Huluva kick. He comes in, boom, nails the Huluva kick. He's got this match won. Baron Corbin interrupts the pinfall, and he yanks Sami Zayn out to the floor. Mega heat for Corbin pulling Sami out of the ring. Crowd did not like that. They showered him in chants of asshole. Corbin tossed Zayn into the ring post outside. Then he set up for the end of days on Ricochet. Sheamus, though, landed a brogue kick out of nowhere for the win. 22 minutes this match went. An outstanding match with an energy from the crowd that we do not get to see very often on WWE television. You know, when I come on here a lot of weeks, I talk, and it's especially noticeable with SmackDown. You know, we'll come out, watch this show, and the reactions and the noise and stuff, it just sounds completely manufactured. People are sitting on their hands, but we're hearing these loud cheers. Tonight, these people were up, they were clapping, they were making noise, they were into this. These people came and they were excited to see this match. They were excited to see Sami Zayn. They were excited to see a lot of things tonight. All five of these men, I thought they brought it. They brought their A game. The right man went over. I'm sorry, Montreal, but this was a win for Sheamus. That was a deserved win. The right man went over. You know, you're going to be doing a stadium show in the UK. They're not doing a stadium show in Canada. They're doing a stadium show in the UK in 2 weeks. You've got Walter as your Intercontinental Champion. Sheamus is right there. You got to do the match. You have to give that. You have to give people that match in Cardiff. The Intercontinental title, like I said, it's the one or one of the few. I guess he hasn't been Universal Champion, but one of the few belts that Sheamus has not held. He's held the WWE title, the United States title, the tag team title. He's been Royal Rumble winner, King of the Ring winner. All of these accomplishments that Sheamus has had in his career. Never been the Intercontinental Champion. He grew up like a lot of people who are probably watching this right now, like me, right? Watching all the workhorses and all the guys who came up, like the Mr. Perfects and the Shawn Michaels and the Bret Harts of the world and Rick Rude, holding that championship. And so he really wants to make sure he wins it at least once before his career is over. So it helps that we know that it actually means something to this guy, but he's got to go through Walter to get it. And Walter is one of the few NXT call-ups who has been booked to perfection since he has been called up. He is still undefeated. He goes in there. He wrecks people. It's not going to be so easy for him to go in there in Cardiff and wreck Sheamus. Sheamus is going to give him the biggest fight that he's had. He is the biggest test that Walter has had on the main roster so far. And You're going to put these two guys in the ring together. They're going to beat the tar out of each other. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see this match. My God. I was talking about the bruise and the scrape on Sheamus' thigh. Sheamus' chest, when this match is over, is going to look like John Moxley's head. It's going to be ridiculously stiff, this match. And like I said, this is probably the match I'm looking forward to the most. As the card currently stands, and there's no tag team title match yet that's been announced, but as the card currently stands, we know Roman and Drew, we know Liv Morgan is going to take on Shayna Baszler, we know there's going to be a six-woman tag on the Raw side with Bayley's crew, and so we know a lot of those matches that are taking place. And by the way, that's another reason why Asuka and Alexa, you know, going to the finals. They haven't announced when the finals of the women's tag title tournament is going to be held. I suppose it can't be held, really, a Clash at the Castle, because even if Asuka and Alexa lose, Io and Dakota already have a match. They're in the They're in the six-woman tag, too. So my guess is they do the finals on TV the week before or that Raw after Clash at the Castle. That's my guess. But of all the matches that we know of so far for that card, this right here. This just shot up to the top of the list of the matches I'm looking forward to the most. So I loved everything about this match. I can't call it the match of the week because I just got done watching the G1 final with Okada and Will Ospreay, and that was incredible. Nothing is topping that this week. Nothing might top it this month. But this was a damn good match. Trevor, just subscribe to the channel. What's going on, Trevor? Brother. So we're a little over 300 likes right now. Remember, the goal tonight is 500 for Be the Booker. If we don't hit 500 by the time we get to the end, we're going to end it. So it's up to you guys. If you want it, you got to get to 500 likes. We came back to a video with the Viking Raiders. They were giving the New Day a special Viking funeral. They went to the cinematic route with this. They were out in the forest somewhere. There was a makeshift altar with various New Day artifacts. They had a box of Bootios. They had a New Day t-shirt. Sarah Logan, former Riot Squad member. She, of course, is married to Eric of the Viking Raiders, and whose face was never shown. She was never acknowledged. They never showed her face, but clearly it was her. She was applying black face paint or war paint, whatever you want to call it, to Eric and Ivar's faces. They said they respect the New Day as warriors and heroes, but their time is done, and since New Day failed to heed their warnings, Valhalla awaits. Valhalla, whatever the fuck. A great battle awaits when the sun will set upon the New Day, then rise on a new Viking day. And then they use their torches to set the altar on fire. So that's going to be a Clash at the Castle match, I assume. New Day and the Viking Raiders. We should get the New Day back on TV very soon. We got a video that recapped the contract signing between Shayna Baszler and Liv Morgan. Backstage, Liv was being interviewed by Kayla Braxton, who was asking about her arm and if she's going to be okay for her match tonight with Shotzi Blackheart. Is this a good idea for you to be going into the match with your arm not at 100%? And she said that, look, if I played it safe, I wouldn't be the champion right now. She acknowledged the fact that her arm is a target, but it's no different than the target on her back. She said that she would do whatever it took to keep her championship. A shout out to Dua Nuditate. Hope I said that right. This became a Sound of Legend. One of our channel members.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Liv Morgan, the SmackDown Women's Champion, one-on-one with Shotzi Blackheart. This, of course, was non-title. This was a miss for me. Shotzi landed a DDT on the apron. Liv tumbled awkwardly to the floor. After a break, Shotzi picked her up in a fireman's carry. Liv reversed into a crucifix bomb for a near fall. Morgan hit the ropes. Shotzi caught her with a butterfly suplex for two. And the champion surprised Shotzi with her oblivion finish after that fourth very sudden win. Came out of nowhere. After the match, Baszler showed up. She tortured Liv's bad arm, and instead of stomping on it, which she teased doing, she stopped short. And she knelt down, and she told Morgan that she would wait to break her arm in Cardiff. And then instead of breaking her arm, she gave Liv a stiff kick to the face, and she walked away. I thought that was great. Just kicked her right in the face. I'm pulling for Shayna Baszler. I want to see Shayna Baszler walk out of there as the SmackDown Women's Champion. I am already bored with this Liv Morgan underdog stuff and the arm. And I want to see Shayna break the arm and take the title at Clash at the Castle. I know it's probably not going to happen, but that's what I'm pulling for. They closed out the show. I tell you what, you know, for all the commercials the show has, this show did feel like it passed a lot quicker. It felt like a quicker show tonight. They closed out with a face-to-face in the ring with Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. There was no Paul Heyman. There were no Usos. There was no Sami Zayn at first. Roman was out there all by himself. Roman Reigns demanded that Montreal acknowledge him, and they did. They were going nuts for him. Then So here's the thing. These fickle fans, right? They're going nuts for Roman Reigns. They're giving him the superstar reaction. And then as soon as he starts cutting his promo, they start giving him the what treatment. Now, he didn't sell it. He didn't acknowledge it. He just kept going. They were trying to take him off his game, but he didn't let them succeed. He said he's not here every week anymore, which we know. And once in a while, people are going to come out here and they're going to say some stupid stuff. He said if anyone comes out here and says that they are the face of the company, they're lying to you. If anybody comes out and says that they're the main event, they're lying to you. If anybody comes out and says that they're carrying the company on their back, they're lying to you. If the company tries to tell you that there were 45,000 people at SummerSlam this year, they're lying to you. If WWE tries to tell you that there's 75,000 people in Cardiff in 2 weeks for Clash at the Castle, they're probably lying to you. I saw that they've sold 45,000 tickets. I think that's what Nick Khan said on the investor call this week. I got to say, I'm actually very surprised by that. I think they're setting the stadium up for between 60 and 70. I thought that they were near sold out. I mean, 45,000, that's a great number. But given all the pent-up demand, 30 years, right, since SummerSlam, the first time we're having a major stadium show in that part of the world. And when tickets initially went on sale, there was all this talk about all this demand and how quickly they went. And only 45,000. I was shocked when I read that. But you know what? I do remember when tickets initially went on sale, and we might have some UK people who can chime in on this in the chat. Yes, TLA, I am aware. It's called the Beats of the... The reason I say it's the Sheamus move where he does the chest beats, I don't remember how to pronounce that word. Is it beats of the Bowdrin or beats of the Bowdrin? I don't want to mispronounce it, so I just call it something else. But yes, I am aware of the fact that that's the name that he gives it. I think it's Bowdrin, but I want to make sure if I'm going to call it that, I want to make sure I'm paying it the proper respect and I'm saying it the right way. But what I was saying is that when tickets initially went on sale for this show, I got a lot of complaints from people who tried to get tickets and they were shocked by how ridiculously high the prices were. And I remember telling them, just wait, just give it time. As we get closer, prices should come down. But, you know, they didn't want to lose out on getting good seats. So they were kind of stuck. Do we spend all this money on tickets knowing prices will probably come down? Do we not go to the show? But I know that was a big thing when tickets first went on sale, the high prices. And I wonder if that played a role maybe, because I just assumed that they had more than that sold. I don't know. That sounds kind of low to me. But they'll claim it's a lot more. Look, they're going to have a lot of people. I'm sure it'll be very loud in Cardiff. Anyway, he goes, all these people that say these things, they're lying to you. There's only one man. There's only one main event. There's only one man who carries this company on his back, and that's Roman Reigns. So Drew McIntyre came out, and he said that Roman is not representing those titles the way that they should be represented. He does not deserve to be the champion. He said Roman had Paul Heyman working for him politically, and the Usos taking bullets for him physically. He said Roman might think he's in God mode, but he's just a man, and there's no man that Drew McIntyre can't tear apart with his bare hands. He said that he feels like fighting right now here in Montreal. They both started brawling. McIntyre got the advantage. He set up for a Claymore kick, but Sami Zayn from out of nowhere, right? They had that tight camera shot, so we couldn't see that. Here comes Sami Zayn. He pushed Roman Reigns out of the way. He'd make a great Secret Service agent. He pushed him out of the way, as long as he doesn't start texting. He pushed him out of the way, and he took a bullet for Roman. He ate a Claymore kick from Drew McIntyre, and down goes Sami Zayn. Reigns landed a Superman punch and then set up for a spear, but Drew recovered, and he took Roman down with the Claymore kick anyway, and he posed with both championships to close out the show. I was surprised that we did not see Karrion Kross come out and attack Drew McIntyre at the end. I thought we'd get a Kross cameo at the end of the show. But maybe he couldn't get across the border for reasons. That could very well have something to do with that. But this was, I thought, a pretty tame segment. It left Drew standing tall at the end with both belts. I suspect that next week he will not be standing tall. But we do have 2 weeks left before the show. Next Friday, it's going to be Raquel and Aaliyah against Toxic Attraction. And I know this is a match I'm sure you're all looking forward to. A match that we have never, ever seen before. Rick O'Shea one-on-one with Happy Corbin. Like I said, this show is not exactly radically different from the way it was a month ago. But there's just enough about it that is different that it looks to be trending in the right direction. But tonight was all about Sami Zayn. Tonight was all about that five-way match. We're getting Sheamus and Walter and Cardiff. That's good enough for a thumbs up from me. Did we get some resolution in the chat on how to pronounce? Is it Bodrin or Baudrin? I'm still looking for a clarification on this. I need to know these things. You got to fill me in. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, we switch on over to TNT, where we have AEW Rampage tonight. Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, Excalibur, Chris Jericho on commentary. Opening the show, we have the Ring of Honor World Champion, Claudio Castagnoli, out there with the Ring of Honor Pure Champion, Wheeler Yuta. Claudio called out Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who was in the front row, called him one of his idols. Claudio said that he wants to defend his ROH title, and he is issuing an open challenge. We haven't seen any of those in wrestling now, have we? Not only did Claudio throw out an open challenge, we had Hook on this show, and Hook also is doing the open challenge gimmick. It's just, I don't know. It feels like we're getting a lot of open challenges lately in wrestling. So Dustin Rhodes came out. I guess they could do an open challenge here because there are no rankings for the Ring of Honor belts. You know, all the other official AEW belts, they have actual rankings that they're supposed to follow. There are no such rankings for the Ring of Honor belts. So Dustin Rhodes came out. He said that he's been dreaming for 34 years about holding a world championship. Claudio had that same dream for years. They were very similar, the two of them. And now here's Claudio stands. He is finally a world champion. And Dustin wants to be a world champion. For Dustin, it would be a dream come true. And he said winning the title is a dream of his. It would give Claudio, he will give Claudio the best natural Dustin Rhodes he's ever seen. Claudio accepted the challenge for next week, and the two of them shook hands. So that should be a fun match next week. Dustin can still go. You know, Dustin's in his, what was he, early 50s now, right? Mid-50s, maybe. Dustin can still go. So that'll be a good match. In the back, Ruby Soho is with Ortiz, and she was reminding us that they have unfinished business with Sammy Guevara and Ty Mello. She did bring up the fact that, you know, the Jericho group was, well, it was Jericho, right? It was Jericho against Ortiz. When Ortiz lost, he cut his own hair. So Ortiz cut his hair. Ruby had her hand injured in the car door. She said they haven't forgotten. So I guess they're going to get it on next week. We had the AEW World Tag Team Champions, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, taking on Private Party. Excalibur, during this match, he talked about how Private Party was taking the fight. They were really putting up a hell of a fight against Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. I don't know what match he was watching. This was all but a glorified squash. So, again, I have no idea what Excalibur was watching. Keith Lee tried to recreate the spot where he launched Isaiah Cassidy into orbit in his debut match. Cassidy, though, landed on his feet. He landed a tornado dive onto Swerve on the outside. Back from break, Lee got the hot tag, cleaned house. He did finally end up launching Cassidy into space. And Mark Quinn tagged in. Keith Lee ragdolled him. Swerve tagged in. He hit the JML driver for the win. After the match, they all shook hands, which I would imagine would not sit well with Andrade when he sees that. Lexi Nair was in the back with the Factory. They were playing... were they playing? I don't know. Cards or domino? Might have been playing dominoes. Powerhouse Hobbs walks in. He flips over the table. He just ruins. He's fucked their game. He doesn't care about their game, right? And QT wants to know what the issue is, and he was pissed that the Factory didn't do what they said they would do. They didn't take out Ricky Starks last week, and QT promised him that he would. Hand to God, he said. We're going to take out Ricky Starks. And Hobbs said, well, you better. And he walked off. We had Hook taking on the reality, Zach Clayton. Who? My thoughts exactly. He came out last week. He issued the challenge, or he accepted the open challenge. I don't know why that had to be announced a week in advance. He claimed to be a reality show star. Apparently, there was something, I guess, at one point with him and JWoww, when JWoww was still a thing from the Jersey Shore. I don't know if they're still a thing or not. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. So he was getting an FTW championship match here. Clayton has won exactly one match. He's had about a dozen different outings on Dark, Dark Elevation. He's won one match before tonight. He came out with a mic in his hand. He said that it was a shame that he had to win the title in the cesspool that is West Virginia. He said that he would bring the belt back to a state that people respect, like New Jersey. And Hook came out, put him out with the red rum in about 15 seconds. Thank you, Hook. That was it. That was the entire segment. Hook is going to have to start having some longer matches soon. But as far as this geek is concerned, that was about as much time as they should have given this. Now, after the match in the back, we had Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. And I did read earlier that they have gotten contract extensions, which is very good for them. They wondered, what if the FTW title was held by a sports entertainer? That was it. That was the segment. Now, I know Menard is hurt. He's still injured coming out of Blood and Guts, so I assume that that's the next match we're going to get is Angelo Parker and not Matt Menard taking on Hook. We had Buddy Matthews with Julia Hart taking on Serpentico. We were told that this was the standby match because Hook's match went so short that this was a standby match. And I actually like that. I like that little bit of realism by mentioning that. Murphy threw Serpentico into the guardrail back in the ring. He hit his Murphy's Law pump handle slam finish for the win. Again, that's really all that happened here. This is what I mean. Up and down the card tonight. It was just, you know, squash, squash, squash. Now, that was fine when I was 7 and I was watching Superstars at noon eating pizza on a Saturday morning. when I'm trying to go live to talk about all this shit, it's 10:30 at night, I don't need squash after squash after squash after squash. I don't even like eating squash. I don't play squash. I don't eat squash. I'm not a fan of the Sasquatch. So it gets a little tiresome after a while. But he hit the Murphy's Law. He got the win. After the match, we hear Miro's masterful music. Out comes Miro, and he's got Malachi Black's mask. He's got the mask with the antlers, and he throws it down on the ground. How did he get it? Did he beat up Malachi Black? We don't know. Murphy meets him in the aisle. They start brawling. They end up fighting into the ring, and Miro just stomped the hell out of him. And he was yelling at him the entire time, "Where are your pagans? Where are your pagans?" I thought he said pigeons at first. I'm like, what the fuck? Was he Mike Tyson? What's going on here? He said pagans, not pigeons. Where are your pagans? Where are your pagans? And he gave Murphy a thrust kick, knocked him out of the ring. There was no black makeup around Miro's eye, so I guess maybe that's not a thing anymore when somebody gets misted in the face, because I felt like they were doing that with him. I think they were putting some makeup on his eye. At least I thought I noticed some in some of the videos that they've done with him, but there was no makeup, no nothing. He looked totally normal. From there, we got a backstage segment with Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Reba, Rebel, call her what you will. They were very upset that they have no match at the pay-per-view. So Britt admitted, we're not going to be on the pay-per-view. We're not going to be at All Out. And then she said, Thunderstorm, she called them the most toxic tag team in all of wrestling, and she made fun of both of them and said that she's going to enjoy the implosion of Thunderstorm since they're wrestling each other at the pay-per-view. You know, I was left with a question at the end of this segment. Is Thunder Rosa the only person that Britt Baker is contractually allowed to wrestle in this company? I feel like this has been going on for months. This has been going on for far too long. It's time for them to find another direction for Britt Baker. It doesn't even matter who it is. Pick a woman. It just feels like this has gone beyond its expiration date. It's time to move on from this. She's still hanging around, talking about Thunder Rosa. We had Penelope Ford against Athena. Yet another women's match, where the majority of the match happened during the commercial break. When they came back, Athena hit the Eclipse for the win. The baddies attacked her in the ring after the match was over. They held her while Jade Cargill walked out with Stokely Hathaway. And she took a sledgehammer. She took Cody's sledgehammer to the angel's wings that Athena wears when she comes out for her match. Those metal wings that she created herself. And she took a sledgehammer to him. Then she got in the ring and she buried the sledgehammer in Athena's gut. And the numbers game was too much. It was too much for Athena to handle. But she doesn't have Chris Statlander to back her up anymore. Chris Statlander is gone. She's having surgery. She's going to be gone for probably 9 months. It's going to be a long time before we see Chris Statlander again. She's got another ACL tear, this one in the other leg, a torn meniscus. So we're not going to be seeing her for a long time. And, you know, it's a shame because apparently the company had big plans for Statlander. It had to be the match with Jade. It's what I've been talking about for months. It was the only natural direction to go in. She was over. The people wanted to see it. An AEW original going over on another AEW original and being the first woman to hand Jade Cargill a defeat and to take the TBS championship. And now that entire story is completely out the window, which is why Athena is the best, second best option here to go with if they're looking for somebody to beat Jade. You know, one thing I notice, and it's kind of weird, I feel like Jade is worse off or less over having the baddies with her than she was when she was by herself. I don't know. There was still a certain aura about her at the time when they were first really pushing her and it was just her and Smart Mark coming out. But yeah, she comes out and the baddies and I don't know. It just feels like she's taken a couple of steps back. She feels a little less than she was when she was by herself. I don't know if I'm the only one who feels that way. They did make the announcement. Excalibur was speed reading through all the announcements. I didn't even write them down. I don't even give a shit anymore. Like, they think it's cute. This is what they do on the show every week. I think it's just fucking dumb. So he was rattling off a whole bunch of bullshit. I didn't pick up half of what he said, but he did mention that there will be another casino casino ladder match at All Out. So we don't know who's going to be in the ladder match just yet. I assume they'll have qualifiers, or maybe not. Maybe they'll just start announcing people, but there is going to be a ladder match at the pay-per-view in 2 weeks. And we got another Trustbusters main event this week. It was all about the three members, Daivari, Slim J, and Parker Boudreaux against Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. This was a first-round match in the Trios Championship Tournament. Scarlett. I just confused Scarlett and Parker Boudreaux. How the hell did I do that? I guess they look so much alike, I guess. You know what? That's a good point. Oh, who made that point? Beowulf. Beowulf makes a very good point to kind of piggyback on what I was just talking about. Wrestlers, when they come out by themselves, stand out more in AEW because everybody is in a group. Everybody is in a trio or a bigger faction. So Jade now feels like just like everybody else. It's her and two or three other people when she comes out. Whereas if she was coming out by herself, all the attention is on her. It does kind of make her stand out a little bit more. That's actually a good point.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I know. I got to get my eyes checked. Parker Boudreaux, Scarlett Bordeaux. That would be very confusing if they were ever together. So Boudreaux tagged in. He beat the hell out of all the babyfaces. Heading into the final picture-in-picture. We got a triple drop kick from Best Friends and Orange Cassidy to Boudreaux, who was down in the corner. That was coming out of the break. Boudreaux got taken out by all three babyfaces on the outside. They knocked him over the barricade into the crowd, so that took care of him. Cassidy was climbing to the top to finish off Daivari, though. Sonny Kiss, who turned heel last week on the show, pushed Cassidy while the referee was distracted. That led to Slim J hitting a top rope reverse clothesline on Cassidy for a near fall. Danhausen appeared in the crowd, and he put the Danhausen curse on the Trustbusters. Cassidy knocked out Daivari with an orange punch. Beretta and Taylor, they held Slim J while Cassidy got up on their shoulders. So you got to picture it like this. You have Trent and Chuck, and they're holding Slim J horizontally. Cassidy climbs up on his partner's shoulders, and then as they sort of, I think they kind of backed away, Cassidy falls in a splash position, and he gets the pin. So Best Friends and Orange Cassidy are now going to face the winner of the Dark Order against the House of Black, with the winner of that semifinal match then moving on to the finals at All Out. And that was your Rampage show. Not a bad show, but just very blah show. You know, a lot of squashes, a lot of stuff that just doesn't really mean much. We had a trios tournament match, but we had the fucking Trustbusters in there against Best Friends. So excuse me if I can't exactly get excited for this. You know, I'm watching this and I see the Trustbusters are in this tournament, right? Now think about all of the other trios in this company that are not in this tournament, but they put the fucking Trustbusters in there. Make it make sense. I guess they wanted them in there just to do the job, but I thought they were going to fill this tournament with some more competitive teams to make it a little more interesting. Putting the Trustbusters in there does not make it interesting. So let's check the Twitter polls. We'll go with SmackDown first. 81% thumbs up, 13%. I'm going to call that the Sami Zayn rating. You take Sami Zayn and everything that Sami did on this show, everything he was involved in, you take him out of the equation, this is not a thumbs-up show. But it was 81% thumbs up, 13 thumbs in the middle, and 5.8% thumbs down. So SmackDown seems to be on a roll these last few weeks with everybody. Let's take a look at the AEW poll, see how that compares. Not as good. Rampage, 52% thumbs up, so they're just over that 50% mark. 27% thumbs in the middle, and 20% thumbs down. So this is probably the third week in a row that SmackDown has trounced Rampage, but they're both above 50. They are technically both thumbs up shows. So if you would like to chime in, let me know which show you like better at Solomonster on Twitter. Yeah, it just might make more sense, I think, on those weeks where the show is taped to just go live after SmackDown, ditch Rampage. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the interest level is there. I mean, I'll let you guys decide, but I mean, it's your show. I want to come on here and talk about something. If you want me to go live sooner, I'll go live sooner. Just Rampage is, you know, it just, so it's sort of there. It sort of exists. Calvin Miller, thank you for the $10 super chat. Buy, sell, or rent. Rank these matches. Bret Hart against Kurt Angle. Shawn Michaels against Bryan Danielson. Or CM Punk against the Macho Man, Randy Savage. All fine matches. You want me to rank them? Well, you know I'm going to go with Bret Hart against Kurt Angle first. I mean, that's going to be the greatest match of all time. Bret versus Kurt, Shawn versus Bryan, and Punk against Macho Man, in that order. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99. This is probably not going to happen, I'm sure of it, but do you think they may possibly think about changing the belts? I love belts. Think about how much cooler it makes the wrestler look. Well, you are correct. They are not going to do that. But I wish they would, too. I wish that they would ditch that Intercontinental title design. I just think, compared to the way it was before, I just think it looks like shit. Groovy Goose, going back, instead of TNN, what other network do you think ECW could have gotten onto? Surely there were other networks that would have been a better fit. They were in discussions with USA at one point. It might have been around the time the WWE left to go to TNN. That was what, 2000? I believe there were discussions about ECW possibly going there, and it just didn't work out. Beyond that, their options were going to be very limited because of the nature of the product. They were never going to be a mainstream company, and so their options were limited. You know, that's the risk you run when you have a more extreme product like they had in terms of the language, and in terms of the blood, and in terms of the violence, and some of the content. Joseph Brooks, the Acclaimed against Hit Row. Book it. Spicy Dried Chicken, fuck it. Triple H should sign Private Party and the Varsity Blondes to WWE when their deals expire. They deserve better. I think Triple H would love to get his hands on Brian Pillman Jr., kind of make him a project. Von Tell, Sheamus and Gunther will be top three match of the year. What are your thoughts? I think it's going to be a fucking great match. That's what I think. The match hasn't even happened yet. I'm not going to rank a match before it happens. Could it be a match of the year contender? Absolutely. You bet your ass it could. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell. On which version of Undertaker do you personally enjoy the most? Undead Supernatural Taker or Big Evil Badass Biker Taker? I like the original sort of undead zombie Taker. He didn't have any really great matches, but that's the version of the Undertaker I grew up on. And he was over as shit from the first day he debuted. So I will always have a soft spot. I actually have an Undertaker question that's kind of similar as far as the kind of the two halves of his career. I'll answer that on the podcast on Sunday. Fire Panda 007. So if you want to know which half of The Undertaker's career I think was the better half, you can tune into the podcast. Fire Panda, from 2009 to 2013, what was Undertaker's worst WrestleMania match? So that would have been WrestleMania 25 to WrestleMania 29. 25 to 29. Whew, wow. They were all good to great. Those years were all good to great. If you put the Brock match in there from 30, that would have easily been the worst. 31 with Bray Wyatt was a step up from 30, but that was also not that great of a match. Boy, you know, that's tough, but I would have to say the worst one, man. People are gonna raise their eyebrows if I say the end of an era match. I think I might have to go with that one. I might have to go with Hell in a Cell. I like the Punk match. I was there for that one too. I like the Punk match, and you know my thoughts on the Michaels matches, both of them. I probably would go 28 by default. The only thing I really remember about 28 was that great near fall spot where Shawn hit the super kick. Triple H hit the pedigree, and they had me convinced for a second that they were going to break the streak. Outside of that, I never really got what was so great about that match. So I might go with 28. Shinakuma, $5 super chat. Would it be ruthless aggression if Austin did not walk out, or were they always going to push ruthless aggression? Cheers to the Solemn Monster. I think ruthless aggression was a byproduct of Austin walking out when he did. They had to try something different. It happened right around the exact same time. I don't think that was a coincidence. So I think it was a product of Austin leaving. I think it would have happened eventually anyway. But I think, yes, I think it had to do with Austin leaving when he did. Spicy Dried Chicken, thank you for the $5. Says, all of this news of AEW backstage problems is concerning. It's feeding into the WCW comparison narrative. I will have a lot more to say on that stuff on Sunday. We'll get into the whole CM Punk stuff. Is it a work? Is it not a work? If it isn't a work, what should Tony Khan be doing about it? We'll get into all that on episode 770 on Sunday. We're getting close. We're not a 500 yet. We're not a 500. We're lagging a little bit behind there. So we only got a little bit of time left. If you want to be the booker, we're about 50 likes away. James Cooper, SmackDown was pretty damn awesome tonight. First time watching a WWE show in full since 2016. Crowd was hot, and we are getting Sammy and KO. That is the hope. The Nacho Man. 28th birthday. Can I get a shout out? Happy birthday to the Nacho Man. Ooh, yeah. Spicy Dried Chicken, fill in the blank. CM Punk against Jon Moxley will end in a blank finish. Controversial. But he says he wants wrong answers only. So I will leave that up to the chat. Wrong answers only. How will CM Punk against Jon Moxley end on Dynamite on Wednesday? Quintus Brown, both shows were solid tonight. Joshua Edwards, I don't know what to say. Here is $2. Yes, thank you, Joshua. I will happily take your $2. Thank you very much. I don't get your $2. I will happily take your $1.10 because Google gets the rest. But thank you very much. Juan Ocampo with the $2. Who is your daddy, Montreal? Shawn Michaels, 2005. One of the all-time great promos ever. I think when I did my top 9 promos of all time list in WWE, I had that at number 3 or 4. I think I had that at number 4. Such a great promo. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, hashtag cancel Rampage reviews. I do hope it gets better. I do too. Rodimus Prime, $10 super chat. Buy, sell, or rent. The worst faction in recent memory. Aces and Eights, the League of Nations, or the House of Torture? I will go House of Torture. Oh boy. House of Torture, Aces and Eights, and then League of Legends. Or League of Nations. Rob G. Run DMC DX theme is fire. Do you like DX from 2000? Yes, I did. And the music was great. Dick the Cock Johnson. So MJF is the ladder match Joker then. Well, I mean, that would be one way of, I guess, getting a championship match. I hadn't thought about that. You know, I just feel like it would make more of an impact if he came out in an impromptu. I just feel like him coming out as part of the match after the way things ended the last time we saw him, without there being any explanation of how or why he's allowed into the match, I don't necessarily like that idea. I wouldn't do it that way. Bernard Frederick. $5 super chat. Spoiler alert, Kevin Owens taking out Ezekiel is a way to bring back Elias. Look for Elias to avenge his brother coming soon. Well, he's going to have to grow all that facial hair back. Maybe Triple H said, you know what, this Ezekiel shit's not working. I want you to grow your beard back and we'll bring back Elias. Rooster loving man. Always disturbs me every week, but it does bring the super chats. Do you think the six-woman tag will be winner-take-all? Could be a way to get the belt on Bayley without beating Bianca. It would be a cheap way, though, of beating Bianca and getting the belt off her, so no. I don't think it'll be winner-take-all. KD with the $20 super chat. Thank you, KD, with the $20 drop. Cody's golden shovel covers my screen. Covers my super chat. Oh my god, he says. Rampage. Keith Lee looks so unhealthy. He has gotten bigger. That is a concern. Two matches were 60 seconds. Murphy being jobbed to Miro after winning. The worst friends versus ragtag team consisting of a rich guy and two meth dealers. Parker flipping over the ropes. LOL. I forgot to mention that part. Not the best episode of Rampage. Near. Maxine Dupree. My God. She is a very attractive woman. We're up to 470 likes. We're getting close. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, favorite Sammy heel moment. I like the conspiracy stuff. I feel they missed a big opportunity there. They missed a huge opportunity there. I really liked my idea where Sammy was filming all of this conspiracy stuff, which he says, by the way, when he did the Broken Skull sessions with Steve Austin, he said that all of that footage they shot was legit. And the hope was that at the end of all of it, there would be an actual documentary. And maybe it would have been 10 minutes long, 20 minutes long. I don't know how long it would have been. But they had enough footage to do an actual documentary. And he thought that's where they were going. And then they just dropped the whole thing. And he was hoping maybe they would kind of come back to it. Now, if he goes babyface, I guess that goes out the window. But the idea that I pitched is that you can have him filming all of this conspiracy stuff all around the locker room, right? And then one day he actually stumbles upon something going on in the back. He exposes something. But like the reveal is so great because we come to find out that all this bullshit that Sammy has been filming now for months, it ends up yielding something tangible. You know, we actually find out maybe there's some other babyface on the roster who's two-faced and we didn't know it. And he accidentally gets it on film and... Like, you could have tied it into another storyline. There were so many different creative ways you could have gone with it. And they just dropped the whole thing. So I'm with Sammy. I hope they can resurrect it at some point. But I don't think now is the time to do that. Spicy Dried Chicken. all a coincidence, but Sami Zayn telling Roman Reigns about Jey Uso yelling at him in his ear on the phone sounds too familiar. There are a few people in that company who know what it's like to have someone yelling in their ear. Dev to Dust, Schindler's List is a masterpiece. I agree. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Liv beat Shayna clean at the pay-per-view. I don't see that happening. Simi Valley, haven't been this excited watching WWE in years. Still a ways to go, but it's been nice. Plus, Dynamite has been good. Rampage is another story. Dynamite was very good this week. Rampage is basically the third episode of Dark. They have Dark, they have Dark Elevation, and now we have Friday Night Dark. We should come up with a new name for this show. Dark something. We already have Dark Elevation. That's taken. What can we call this show? Thomas agreed with Britt and Rose. Oh, agreeing with me with what I said. Yeah, I mean, they've just been attached at the hip now for so long. It's like enough already. Just kind of, you know, enough. Separate them. Have Britt Baker do something else for a change. Can't be the only one who feels that way. Simi Valley, buy or sell on who will become a world champion first, Hook or Daniel Garcia? I'm going to say Hook. Although, you know what? I could see Daniel Garcia becoming a Ring of Honor world champion. I'm going to change my vote. I'm going to go with Garcia. I think Garcia will win the ROH world title before Hook wins a world title. Lakers Pats, wrestling lost media you'll like to see. Wrestling lost media you'll like to see. I don't know what you mean by that.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Simi Valley, if Bray Wyatt comes back, which show would you put him on and who would you have him feud with first? I'm not exactly clamoring for a Bray Wyatt return right now. I'm really not. But if he was to come back, I really hope he comes back just completely reinvented, new look, new character, leaves the Fiend stuff in the past. You know, they already did enough to damage all that and ruin that. You know, it was fun when he first debuted and it was so unique. But, you know, it ran its course. And they bobbled it, and it's pretty much dead now. So if Bray were to come back, you know, who would I feud him with? I don't know. I do feel like a program with him and Karrion Kross, since there are certain dark similarities in their characters, I mean, that could be interesting, I guess. But I don't know. Really clamoring for a Bray return right now. Bray and Roman obviously have issues before, but I, you know, to do Bray and Roman, Bray's not going to win. Bray Wyatt is not the person who should be ending this long 700 plus day reign of Roman Reigns. I know there's a story there where Roman took the championship from him at Payback 2 years ago, and here comes Bray back. He's going to try to reclaim the championship, but he should not be the guy. I'll tell you something. You know, I've talked about Cody and how I think the story there is for Cody Rhodes to come back and be the one to beat Roman Reigns if Drew doesn't do it in 2 weeks. The reaction that Sami Zayn got out there tonight. I know it was Montreal. He's not going to get that reaction every week. I get that. But what you saw tonight was a taste of what a babyface turn could be like for Sami Zayn. And I feel like they've been doing this story for so long. Part of me, even though I think Cody is probably the better way to go, part of me does feel like, man, if they could figure out some way to drag this out longer and get Sammy to a point where he does go babyface and he does come to his senses and he does realize that he's been played by these people for months, by the Usos, by Roman, and they can somehow get to a Roman Reigns Sami Zayn match for the championship and have Sami be the one, the guy who they didn't take seriously at all. He couldn't even get a meeting with Roman Reigns. They played him like a fiddle. They thought he was a fool. He was a joke. He lost to Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania. What a comeback story it would be. And then Sami Zayn becomes the guy to beat Roman Reigns. I know it's a pipe dream. I know it's far-fetched. But there were parts of the show tonight where I was looking at Sami. I'm like, you know what? This could work. This really could work. I don't expect that to happen. But I'd rather see that than Bray Wyatt come back and go after Roman Reigns. What a great story that would be. Don Juan with the $9.99. Yeah, I know there's no chance. I'm just saying. The thought did occur to me watching the show. Like, what a great Moo. Story that would be. Roman Moo. Didn't take this guy seriously. Moo! Moo! JM, moving on up. Top of the Super Moo. Chat list tonight. Oh, my goodness. JM, don't go anywhere. I'm coming up on your Super Chat here in a second. Holy shit. Coming in hot on a Friday night with the $100 bomb. Bliss fan would put a lot of money on Bray 100% attacking Roman at Clash at the Castle. I don't want to tell you what to do with your money, but I would not put a lot of money on it. I'm not a betting man anyway, but I don't know that I would put a lot of money on. Don Juan, so if Solomoser was a teen during the Attitude Era, and we in 2022, so we subtract 2022 to 2001, that means Solomoser is 21 years old. Yes, I am 21 years old. You got me. You got me. I am about to celebrate my 22nd birthday in October. You've exposed me. You have finally figured out my age. Don Juan is using some of that fuzzy Steiner math here in the Super Chats tonight. Don Juan may have to go back to school. Don Juan missed his algebra class, I believe. Math is not his strong suit. Rizzo, thank you for the 20. Might not make it to the end of the episode because I work at 7 a.m. But I'll listen to the rest of this podcast while I'm at work in the morning. Do you think with the alleged drama with Punk and AEW, the WWE knew that he was a headache? I think WWE has thought he was a headache and a pain in the ass for over a decade. And I don't think that if he suddenly became available that they would be bringing him back, especially now that Triple H and Stephanie are in charge. I just remember Stephanie in particular, from my understanding, Stephanie hates CM Punk, or at least she did. So there's even less chance of him going back to WWE. Not that there was a chance anyway, but it was the slimmest of chances before. Now forget about it. Now with this new regime in power, I don't think they'd want to touch him. I think they think he's toxic. Anti-M Bishop for the end of the Trios match. It was an old colony finisher from Cassidy's days from Chikara. I legit marked out long live Chikara. See, I didn't realize that. I forgot that he was... was he Fire Ant? Is that what he was? I get my ants mixed up. I think he was Fire Ant, right? Wasn't Orange Cassidy Fire Ant in Chikara? Food Hive. Says, what up, chat? At work, cooking up some good food for the public at a charity in the morning. I love being a chef. Had to stop by and show love to the guys. Well, that's a very cool thing that you are doing. He is cooking up some food for everybody. Hopefully it is fully cooked. I don't want to have a repeat of that one episode of Seinfeld where Frank Costanza has those war flashbacks and thinks he's giving food poisoning to everybody. EJ Slemp. Missed both shows tonight because I went to the Rockets game. Coors Field is a great ballpark and Denver is a beautiful city. I've not been to Denver. I've been to a lot of places. Denver is not one of the places I've been to. Trying to figure out how old I'm turning in October. I'll tell you what, I believe one of the greatest albums of all time from Michael Jackson was number one the year that I was born. So let's see if you can figure it out. Akeem Mayfield with the $10 Super Chat just played with Sarah on WWE 2K22, and she is my new favorite NXT women's wrestler. Also, do you think Giovanni Vinci is the next NXT champion anytime soon? Akeem, I don't think Vinci is going to win the NXT title anytime soon, although he would make a fine champion. The guy is tremendous. He's a tremendous performer in the ring. Sarah, though, I don't know what Sarah you're referring to. Are we talking about Sarah Logan? Since I mentioned her earlier in the stream, I don't know what Sarah you were playing in the game. King Bling Blah, favorite crowd chant. Favorite crowd chant? Favorite crowd action? You know what my favorite crowd action is? When they sit there and they watch the show and they cheer and they boo. That's my favorite crowd reaction. My favorite crowd chant. Do I even have a favorite chant? I have so many chants that I hate. You still got it. You deserve it. What? Stupid chants. My favorite crowd chant might be asshole. It might be. Maybe asshole. That might work. King Bling Blah, AEW in Cleveland. Johnny Wrestling. What are the odds? I think very low. I'm... You know, if BlizzFan is willing to put money on Bray Wyatt coming back at Clash at the Castle, I'd be willing to put money on the fact that Johnny Gargano is coming right back to WWE. The minute that Triple H took power, I think his decision was made. Fire Panda 007. Okay, Mr. Monster. Think really hard about this. In terms of Tale of Two Careers, which one was better? Shawn Michaels... 2002 to 2009 or Undertaker 2004 to 2010. I don't need to think very hard at all. It's Shawn Michaels 2002 to 2009. JM, here it is. The $100 Super Chat Bomb. Here is a tip for reviewing AEW Dark Rampage Elevation tonight. I agree with you about Britt Baker. Seems like every time I see her, she's cutting the same tiresome promo on Thunder Rosa. There are plenty of options. Go feud with Sky Blue for a month and give us a break. I like your name, by the way, for the show. AEW Dark Rampage Elevation. Or you can make a Dark Elevation Rampage and call it AEW Durr. You can call it that, right? That works. We could have Excalibur on commentary every week. Welcome to AEW Durr. That'll be the new name of the show. But thank you, JM, for the... bomb. Heading into the weekend with a bomb always feels good. Aussie of Steel. Was there ever a point where you got tired of Bray Wyatt's Eater of Worlds gimmick? Yes, I got tired of his Eater of Worlds gimmick when he started becoming the Eater of Pins. And he was being pinned and beaten on television every single week. I used to make fun of the fact that Bray Wyatt would do all these cryptic promos all the time, right? These like dark promos, this is going to be the end of you, and like, you know, threatening people, and then he would lose every big feud. He lost. It was comical. It was almost like they were intentionally sabotaging this guy. So when the Eater of Worlds became the Eater of Pins, I was not a fan of it. Luis Belmont Show, $10 Super Chat. I'm watching SmackDown and the 2022 Pokemon World Championship simultaneously. Armed Anderson. I definitely forgot about SmackDown being in Montreal. Happy 1200th episode of SmackDown, everyone. You're watching the Pokemon World Championship. I didn't even know there was a Pokemon World Championship. The only Pokemon I know is Pikachu. I couldn't tell you the name of any other Pokemon if Arn Anderson put a gun to my head. I couldn't tell you. Pokemon is out of my realm. I know Pikachu, and that's about it. Does Pikachu have an arch rival? Pikachu's like the big baby face, I assume. Is there like a big villain? A main villain in Pokemon? I don't know. Rizzo, you have some cool shirts. Where do you get them? From all different kinds of places. If you want to look up some cool shirts, I would check out the website Liquid Blue. They've got some cool all-over designs on that website. GCC305, hey Solomonster, have you heard the story on how Bret Hart once practiced a finish for a match against Yokozuna on a woman that he had sex with? Just heard Jim Cornette speaking about it. Also, here's $10. You know, I vaguely remember that story, but I'm sure if I actually heard it, I would remember the full story, so no, I have not. I'll look up the Cornette clip, though, if he tells the story. I know the story about Bret doing the, I think it was the LOD finish. I think the Doomsday Device on Bret in a bar. On Vince McMahon in a bar. That one I don't think I know. Bret was a ladies' man on the road. I know he's very honest about that in his book. Which I don't think I ever actually finished. It was so long, but... He definitely doesn't shy away from the fact that he had like a woman in each city. He was definitely sleeping around on the road. I know that. Cam with the $1.99, thoughts on Punk trauma. Not sure if it was brought up. I'm gonna get into it on the podcast on Sunday. We'll do a more formal segment on that on the main show. Joel Naranjo. Say, Solomonster, do you think Finn Balor against Gunther would have been set perfectly for Clash at the Castle? Yeah, you know, I'm still pissed we didn't get it because of the pandemic. We were going to get it at TakeOver Dublin 2 years ago. COVID fucked the whole thing up, so we never got the match. Sucks. But, no, there was no time to promote that for Clash at the Castle. They're both heels, and they're both on different shows. So there was no way it was ever going to happen on this show. Caligaro Klotz. I don't know if timeline lines up correctly, but why did we never get Shamrock against Angle? Will they ever make amends with him with Vince being gone? I don't think so, because Shamrock in the past, I think, has talked about the issue might be with Triple H. Now that Triple H is in power, I don't get the sense Triple H is going to be quick to bring back Ken Shamrock. So whatever the issue is, no, I don't think it's going to be. If anything, it might make it harder to imagine him being back. Although he should be somebody also considered for a future Hall of Fame induction. Now that Vince is out of the picture, Triple H may have a different view of who should go into the Hall of Fame each year. I think Shamrock deserves some consideration for that. Shamrock and Angle, they were just kind of two ships passing in the night. Angle came in the end of 99. Shamrock, I think, might have still been there very early 2000, but... By that point, he was gone. So they just miss each other. Fire Panda, you are somewhere between 35 and 42 years old. Just a guess. All right, it's not a bad guess. Thomas, you were born in 1983. No. KD, $10 super chat. Do you think MJF comes out next week? Just for a 12-day build to the pay-per-view. All the rumors with Punk and Page, if he does, wouldn't that just be a waste? By the way, boo on you buzzing Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. Well, that was on Be the Booker on Monday, or on Wednesday. Wednesday. I don't know. Do we even have enough likes for Be the Booker? I haven't checked. MJF is coming back soon. I don't know that MJF is coming back on Wednesday, but he is definitely coming back soon. It's right on schedule. He was always going to come back when Punk was back. Punk is back. We're heading into the fall. MJF, it is only a matter of weeks before he is back. How he is going to come back, I don't know. But but it will tie in with CM Punk in some way. Some good questions. Lots of drama going on. Lots of drama in wrestling. Drama is great if you're a podcaster. I love drama. If you're Tony Khan, though, you might not like drama so much. Drama is not a positive thing for your company. We'll talk about that on Sunday. Luis, the Usos not being there is code for they can't travel over the border because of their DUIs. I believe you are right. So we did blast past 500 likes. I do appreciate all of you hitting that like button. And so let us get into Be the TNT Loves Drama. Touche. Very well said. You're right. TNT should love it. TNT loves drama. There's only one problem. Dynamite is on TBS.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Be the Booker time. You guys wanted it. You guys gave this video the 500 likes that it needed. And so, without any further ado, we get into Be the Booker.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
We begin with the men. We kick things off with the best there is, the best there was, and the best that there ever will be. Bret the Hitman Hart. It's going to be a good night. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones. It's going to be a good night when we start Be the Booker out with Bret the Hitman Hart. We got Bret Hart one-on-one. Jesus Christ. God. Why do I say these things? All I'm doing is jinxing myself when I say it. Bret Hart against the Gobbledygooker. You know, you take him out of the costume, and Bret Hart against Hector Guerrero actually would be a pretty good match. But I mean, what the fuck? Bret Hart against Poultry. I mean, Bret Hart, I like Bret Hart, but he's not exactly a miracle man. Well, moving on. Go to the ladies. Begin with Alba Fire. Right. Call her Kaylee Ray. I guess in this photo, she'd be Kaylee Ray because she has the NXT UK Women's Championship, currently held by Mako Satomura. She is holding the Women's Championship for a promotion that will soon no longer exist. There's Kaylee Ray. She's going to be going one-on-one with Brandi Rhodes. Brandi Rhodes, by the way, was having mock matches and was practicing this week at the WWE Performance Center. And she's not doing it just for fun. Brandi Rhodes is on her way back very soon. Brandi Rhodes will likely be wrestling in a WWE ring very soon. So if you are a Brandi Rhodes fan, that is something for you to look forward to. I, on the other hand, am moving on to the tag teams. We begin here with Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper. Former World Tag Team Champions on Monday Night Raw. That would have been 2006, I want to say. maybe 2005. And actually what I remember about that run is that it saved Roddy Piper's life, because he got tested around that time, I think just in the normal course of him performing, and that's how they found out that he had the, I think it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, I think. So had he not been performing at that time, he probably would have gone undetected, and he might have passed away a lot sooner than he did. So that run actually legitimately saved his life. But you got Flair and you got Piper, right? Two of the GOATs. Although at that stage, they were past their prime, but let's see who they get into the ring with. Against the Good Brothers. Boy, this was not our best night. This was not our best night tonight. I have failed you. I have failed you. Bret Hart against the Gobbledygooker. Brandi Rhodes against Kay Lee Ray. And Ric Flair and Roddy Piper against Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Well, I'd still rather watch that than tonight's episode of Rampage. But that's me. You got the triple buzzer, man. The triple, but what do they call that in baseball? What is it, the golden sombrero? Is that what it is? I think it's the golden sombrero. We got Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Hope Moxley and Punk don't end up like Starrcade 97. I'll tell you what, Punk keeps causing problems. We may end up with the Chicago Screwjob. That's something Tony Khan doesn't want. That's why he's got to nip this shit in the bud before it gets out of control. Unless, of course, it's all a work. We got GCC. Let me see. Let me make sure I didn't miss anybody here. We got GCC 305. If we guess correctly your age, can you do Be the Booker? Also, here's another $5 for all that you do. Also, I think it's his book on the Hitman. I think it's his book on the Hitman. Oh, the story is in the book. Okay. And the book is so, the book is just, it's so long. There's so much, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in. But I will definitely look that story up. Ah, yes, I got confused. The golden sombrero is for strikeouts. The golden sombrero is for strikeouts. I was thinking of the golden shout, not the golden shout. Jesus Christ. It's getting very late. That's a whole other conversation. Fire Panda 007, between 37 and 41 years old. You're in the right zone. You're in the right zone. And JM, I think your AEW Durr is the winner with 6 commentators. Oh, we need more. I think if Rampage needs anything, it's even more commentators. I don't think Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, Excalibur, and Chris Jericho are enough. I think they need 3 or 4 more. We could throw Mauro in there. We'll have Mauro doing commentary with 5 other people, right? I'm sure that'll go well. Who else can we throw in there? Who else do you think would be a great commentator? Who would be a great commentator? I'm trying to think now. That's on the current AEW roster. Oh, I know who would be a great commentator. Let's put Hook in there. Hook would be a fine commentator. I mean, he's a chatterbox. I'm sure he'd have a lot to say. We'll get Tony Khan in there. Maybe he could do commentary on his own show, right, Tony? That'd be interesting. We've got Ice Mocha. Lot of weed. Ice Mocha, lot of weed. I see. I'll tell you. I don't know why it makes me so funny. For some reason, I thought, I don't know. I was reading it just the way I was reading it. I got to get through this. He says, new idea for Be the Booker. Pick two random wrestlers and give their tag team a name. Example. I don't know why I'm laughing. Oh, I fucking hate you for this. I fucking hate you for this. Anyway, his new idea for Be the Booker is to pick two random wrestlers and give their tag team. Give their tag team. I'm not looking at the chat. Give their tag team a name. Example, Booker T and Boogeyman call themselves the Bookworms or the Spin-a-Wormies. Spin-a-Wormies is, that's kind of lame. I like your first example, though. It's not a bad idea. Akeem Mayfield with the 10 bucks. I meant Saray, not Sarah. Okay, well, I was confused. You said Sarah. I go, which Sarah are we talking about? Sarah Del Rey, Sarah Rowe, Sarah Smile. What are we talking about here? So he played as Saray in 2K22. Do you think that she is underutilized, and would you buy or sell her against EO? Something's flying around here. EO... Sky, Saray is my winner in the match. You know, I gotta say, the last few matches I've seen with Saray, she hasn't really been all that impressive. I don't really see her very often. You know, they don't use her a lot. I haven't been overly impressed by some of her recent matches. Do I think she's underutilized? I do. I would like to see her more on NXT, though, not on the main roster. I think we see her more at NXT, and then we kind of take it from there. She's not somebody I think is in need of an imminent main roster call-up. And JM with the $7 super chat. It was all downhill after Golden. This is you, AEW Rampage. This is your AEW Rampage After Dark review. It is the After Dark review. Spicy dried chicken. Yes, Laughing Solid Monster is wonderful. Love you. Darth Panic. They need to cast you as the Joker in the next Batman movie with that laugh. Hey, my number is always open. They want to reach out to me. I'm not a hard man to find. It would be my honor to lend my voice to one of the Batman movies or cartoons. Anna the Gamematic Magician with the $5. Solomonster laughed this hard when talking about Scott Steiner burying the Hall of Fame on the moon. Yes, that was another one. That was on the audio show. That was on the main podcast many years ago. The Scott Steiner moon rant about the Hall of Fame is another gem. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, that alone was more entertaining than Rampage. Akeem Mayfield, do you think Kevin Owens would be a good feud matchup for The Fiend? Maybe a series of Extreme Rules matches. No, I just think I'm done with The Fiend. I think Bray needs to come back, if he does come back, and just completely blow it up and just try something different. Maybe he comes back with a skullet or something, although I guess he would look like Strowman if he did that. I don't know. He's a creative guy, though. I'm sure if he does come back, he'll come up with something. He's had plenty of time off to think about how he wants to come back. I just feel like to go right back to the Fiend stuff, you know, you're going to be right back in the same situation you were in before where, you know, he's this unbeatable monster who can't lose. And it's like, well, what do you do then? I wouldn't put the belt back on him. I think that ship has sailed. I think The Fiend already wrestled Owens. Didn't they have a match? I know The Fiend wrestled The Miz. I don't remember. Well, this has been fun. Unexpectedly fun. You know what? I do think actually it was more entertaining than Rampage. Yeah, okay. It was Funhouse Bray. It wasn't The Fiend. It was Funhouse Bray who wrestled The Miz. Right, that was a TLC, right? I am going to be back with you on Sunday, not live, but that'll be the main show, episode 770. We got a lot to discuss on there. And then, of course, Monday night, I'm going to be back with you again live after Monday Night Raw. Trish Stratus is on Raw. They're going to be in Toronto, another Canadian crowd. We'll see if Toronto is as animated as Montreal was tonight. But Trish Stratus is going to be on the show. They have not said what she is going to be doing on the show, but I would assume that it'll be tied into the women's tag team title tournament in some way. Maybe she'll be a guest announcer or a timekeeper or something to that effect. I guess we'll have to just wait and see. Have a good weekend, guys.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.